Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. Now when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. When the queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters, their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came, and my eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great amount of spices and precious stones. Never again did such abundance of spices come in as that which the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir a very great number of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made the almug trees supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also lyres and harps for the singers, as such almug trees have not come in again, nor have they been seen to this day. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire which she requested, besides what he gave her according to his royal bounty. Then she turned and went to her own land together with her servants. Now, the weight of gold which came in to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Besides that, from the traders and the wearers of the merchants and all the kings of the Arabs and the governors of the country, and King Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold using 600 shekels of gold on each shield. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold using 3 minas of gold on each shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with refined gold. There were 6 steps to the throne and a round top to the throne at its rear, and arms on each side of the seat, and 2 lions standing beside the arms. And 12 lions were standing there on the 6 steps on the one side and on the other. Nothing like it was made for any other kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None was of silver. It was not considered valuable in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea the ships of Tarshish with the ships of Hiram. Once every 3 years the ships of Tarshish came, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom, and all the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his gift, articles of silver and gold, garments, weapons, spices, horses, and mules, so much year by year. Now Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, and he stationed them in the chariot cities in the king of Jerusalem. And the king made silver as common as stones in Jerusalem, and he made cedars as plentiful as sycamore trees that are in the lowland. Also Solomon's import of horses was from Egypt and Kuh, and the king's merchants procured them from Kuh for a price. And a chariot was imported from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And by the same means they exported them to the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Arameans. Amen. All right, so this and the next chapter are considered what's called the Golden Age of Solomon. And this chapter is good. The next chapter is not so good because it talks about his demise. And then from there, we'll go into the divided kingdom. Now, in this particular case, the Queen of Sheba is presented here. There's really nothing, anything particularly special about the Queen of Sheba, but it just it's just laid out here because she's would be translated the Queen of the South, Most likely, she's probably from the area of Yemen, if we look at a map today. But in this time, that was known as the most southern place in the world. And so the reason why the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of South, is written here is just showing the expanse of Solomon's fame, that it had gone all the way, even all the way down to the furthest part of the south. And so this queen comes, and you could relay this message of, I have heard of your fame. I have heard of your wisdom. I have heard of your splendor. But it was so lofty, I had to come see it for myself. And that's basically how famous Solomon has gotten to this point. So here's this picture of this woman that comes. And what was customary in these times, these Oriental times, was that they would always offer up riddles. There would be these riddles, and probably these days we call them like brain teasers. And they were meant to really see how smart this person was. And you could actually see that in a lot of Greek mythology. There's all these riddles and brain teasers that lay out. And so she had a bunch just to test Solomon in his wisdom. And it said that nothing was hidden from him. In other words, that he basically answered every question that she had. So when their discussions were done, she was so impressed with his wisdom. But more than that, she was impressed with, or I say as much as wisdom, impressed with his prosperity. Even the way, when she relays the food at the table, the seating of the servants, the attendance of his waiters, and their attire, she's really referring to the administration of his kingdom. That the way that he administrated, the way that he ruled the kingdom was incredible, impeccable even. Even to their attire, the way they laid out the table, there was such symmetry and beauty. There was such an order by which his servants and the way that he ran his kingdom. And she turns and says to the men, not to Solomon, and he says, "Man, you have a great leader." He's saying, "You are so blessed. You are so blessed to basically come under this covering." Verse 8, "How blessed are your men. How blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." More likely, this phrase meaning that she was converted. Now, there's no mention of her worshiping in the temple, which would have been the natural conclusion. So that theory is inconclusive, but most likely she was converted at this stage. Because of all the wisdom, all the favor that Solomon had received, and you know all these good things, she, just so struck, you know, by that in that way, and this kind of begs us to stop for a moment, and you know this is why we need to pray for our leaders. This is why we need to pray for our leaders in government. That's why in the New Testament. Very clear that we pray for those that are in rule over us. It's why, you know, you should obviously pray for your pastors. You should pray for your bosses, people that have governance or have some kind of rulership over you. Because, listen, if they're doing right and if they're doing well, it blesses you. And so I know that's even a little self-seeking in some way, but it's true. You should pray for your presidents and your chief executives and your prime ministers, you know, wherever country you're coming from. Because if they do well, if they rule righteously and they serve with humility and these things, it just brings incredible blessing to the people. When thinking in a church situation, if your pastors and your leaders, your house church leaders, and if they're doing well, if they're serving well, if they're moving in humility and being filled with God and his wisdom, it's such a blessing for the congregation. And then that also lays in at work as well. If your boss is doing well, and not just prosperous, but moving and acting righteously, And it brings such a favor and such goodness that comes into your life. You know, I've been reading the last few days, there's an annual issue in Fortune magazine about the 100 most admired companies. And so, you know, just reading excerpts here and there, and it's amazing. One of what I see is a common thread through a lot of these companies is really companies and CEOs and board of directors that really value employees. And because they value employees, they put in certain processes in place. I was reading yesterday about AT&T, and AT&T had been not on the list for ages. And this year, they finally get on the list of most admired companies, and it's because they're basically moving from hardware into software, and so they're having to transition the whole company. And so, but they're retraining. They realize, you know, out of 200 and some thousand employees, they need to retrain like 120,000 of them, you know, over these next 5 years or so. And as they're talking about that, it just shows their heart to keep their employees and their heart to retrain them instead of fire them and, you know, get other people out. And you read that, it's like, man, these are good leaders. I mean, they really have the heart for their employees, and they put in place circumstances and opportunities by which the people can really grow in. And, you know, no wonder you want loyalty in those type of settings. And so this is important, you know, when the leaders, when they serve, and that's really what they're supposed to be, when they serve people to see their benefit, that's an incredible blessing that happens. And it should be reciprocal in that regard. And so the employees or the congregation or the citizens, they should reciprocate by praying and being loyal and, you know, and being servants themselves and all those things. But it's such a blessing having good leaders. And this is why if you look, you look at even the world today, and we're looking at a geopolitical situations. I mean, where are the countries, where are they being prosperous? It's when the leaders are serving the people. Where are the countries that there's turmoil? You look at like Syria and other places. It's leaders that they serve themselves. And it's a direct correlation to revolt, revolution, all kinds of things that go on. I mean, even you look at the situation happening in Venezuela today. It's the same thing. You know, something just happened in Brazil. We think of what just happened here in South Korea, and then now perpetually be happening in generations in North Korea. And it's crazy. When leaders, when they serve themselves and they don't realize that they're servants and serve other people, you run into problems. And so you have Solomon here, and she says, man, you guys are so blessed that you have such a good leader. And there's something quite significant about that. And so we should really pray for our leaders in different spheres, in government, in your work, and also obviously in church. And then, of course, more importantly, also in your home, right? That you pray for your, if you live at home, you pray for your parents, and particularly your father in this way. And so she gives the king the 120 talents of gold. That amounts to about $3.5 million. That's a lot of money, man. I mean, it's a lot of money right now. It is a tremendous amount of money back in these days. And it gives you an idea of the splendor of Solomon's kingdom. And so this is why Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, or it could be in chapter 5, but he talks about don't worry. It's chapter 6. And he's telling us not to worry. And remember what he says? He says even Solomon in all of his splendor didn't dress himself like these lilies or these flowers. And so there was this idea of the prosperity and the grandeur, and Solomon will always play that role in the eyes of the Israelites here in this way. And just so much spices. They said they've never seen so many spices in their whole life. And then she brings this wood. There's some debate about what kind of wood it is, but some say it's a sandalwood. Some say it's another fragrant fir. Most likely they came from India. And this particular wood was actually used, it was considered very sacred. And it was used in worship in India. And so she brings this this wood, and this wood is such amazing type of wood that he uses it in the Lord's house. He makes beams out of it, and then he turns them into instruments. And so this would have been quite costly, and they said, and they haven't even seen this wood since then. It's so precious. And it just gives you an idea of the kind of stuff that people brought to Solomon in response to his wisdom. And, you know, it gives the queen, and then she leaves. And then from 14 on is a little summary statement of basically what happens in a year. And in a year, there's 666 talents. Now, don't read into that. I know that's the number of the enemy, right? 666. It's just a number in this regard. But this is worth about $20 million. And so can you imagine, you know, many centuries before, and $20 million are coming to you every year, just free of charge, basically. And this was tribute. This was people that paid and it's not necessarily a tax per se, because it was a voluntary tribute. And this is just some duty was there, but really out of desire of their heart to really bless Solomon. And so he would make shields of gold. I mean, who needs a shield of gold, you know? Of beaten gold, and obviously they're for decoration, because if you know gold, it's not the hardest substance, whatsoever. But I mean, ivory. I mean, can you imagine all the ivory that comes in? And so it's just an idea that wealth is coming from all over the world to Solomon. Ivory obviously would be something from particularly North Africa. And it's all coming in, and then, you know, even his drinks, his vessels his drinking is made of gold, all the cups. I mean, this is an extremely, extremely prosperous time. And then every 3 years, ships come in from Tarshish, and remember Hiram's army, all of his ships, they were seamen. They come in and they bring in all kinds of stuff from Africa. They bring in apes and peacocks. And the only reason those animals are listed is because in this time, they were considered the most exotic, right? I mean, seeing a peacock in the Middle East, or even an ape in the Middle East, was just like, wow. I mean, this is like the craziest. It would be like when you hear about guys like Mike Tyson, and he has a panther, you know, like, I mean, what kind of idiot has a panther? But it's just an idea of the splendor and just the majesty, and some of it, a bit of the exuberance of wealth and these type of things. And so much of this stuff comes in. And then not only that, chariots and horses. And I mean, and it's almost a little bit like kind of haughty a little bit. And it says, you know, it was all gold, not even any silver. Silver was nothing, you know, to these guys. It was like silver was like nothing, you know. It was like dirt to them. And it's like, wow, these guys are, you know, it'd be the same thing of people saying, oh yeah, they, you know, they burn money for firewood, or this idea that they're so rich and so prosperous. You know, we don't need wood; we just use money. We have so much cash at hand, and these type of things. And this is really the kingdom of Solomon, such wealth, such riches, such fame. This is the height of Solomon and his kingdom. And this is, you know, obviously God's blessing and these things. And but unfortunately, the table turns very, very quickly in that regard. So we'll get to that tomorrow. So let's close our eyes. Let's go back to that, what we talked about a little bit. How blessed are the people when we have good leaders. Now pray for those that are in authority over you. When we pray for our presidents and our chief executives and our prime ministers, that has a direct correlation or relationship to you. When you pray for your pastors, that has a direct relationship to you. When you pray for your bosses, pray for your fathers and mothers. Let's not neglect doing that. Because when they're doing well, we're doing well. When they are blessed, we are blessed. When they are acting righteously, we are recipients of that. And obviously, if they're acting unrighteously, we are also the recipients of that as well. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today to remind us to pray for our leaders in government, in church, in work, and at home. And this morning, let's thank the Lord for them and pray for them.
To whom I stand in awe of you.
Let's pray. Let's thank the Lord for our leaders, and let's pray for them. And let's pray for here in Hong Kong, Carrie Lam, or if you're an American, pray for Donald Trump, or you know, Theresa May, I mean, whoever. Let's ask the Lord to continue to bless them. And let's pray for your pastors. Pray for me. Pray for our associate pastors. Pray for your house church leaders. You know, and pray for your bosses or your boss. And ask God to just bless them. Ask that they would just really be true servants. And, you know, our own prosperity, our own blessing is tied to theirs in some ways. So let's follow the biblical prerogative and pray for our leaders. Let's pray for our community that's battling through cancer and going through chemotherapy. So let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that is battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray that the Lord will reveal Himself to them. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community looking for work, and let's pray for God's open doors and His provision. Let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's pray over the government. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Pray for revival. Pray and lift up the churches. Let's pray for our friends there. Sports services, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church. And can you pray for the Hong Kong students? Is there the suicide issue? And let's just lift up this country. Let's pray over our staff. Let's ask God's blessing and hand upon them as we serve the Lord and serve the church with all of our hearts. Particularly, if you see Nate and Monica and Rachel are in Korea for Matt and Nate's parents. I think dad's 60th birthday. It's a pretty big event, so they're all there. So just pray for a safe time there in Korea. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for welcoming and the barista. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers that they would serve the Lord with joy and that they would really make an impact with every person, every guest, and SPR that they meet and greet. Pray for our worship and sound ministries and our AV team. Let's pray for a real heart of worship and excellence. Pray for our leaders and our volunteers, and I pray that they would just really serve the Lord well through these ministries. Let's pray for house church meeting tonight. Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lion Rock, Old Peak Road, Soho, TST in Westville. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to just really take control of the meetings and bless the leaders and the hosts and the people that would come that really be that would really encounter the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. God, I thank you for your word today. And we pray, Lord, that we be very mindful, Lord, of praying for our leaders, God, and understanding that in their prosperity, God, in their blessing, Lord, in their peace, God, we receive our peace and blessing. And so help us to be mindful and do pray, God, for our leaders, be it civic or spiritual, Father God. And so we thank you, Lord. Watch over us today, God, as we seek to glorify your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.